Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Crown of Salt and Bone by Catherine Quinn. Narrated by James Cavanaugh and Gillian Yetter.
Life isn't always full of color. Between the shades of gray, beauty and truth live. Don't be afraid to seek it.
Somewhere in a Dream. Prologue. Bash rolled over in bed and tugged the warm body at his side closer. Margaret let out a soft sigh, nuzzling his chest, her naked flesh warm and silky and utterly addicting. He trailed a finger down her arm, unable to help himself. He had to feel her, to know she was real and not some cruel apparition. This time, she shivered, goosebumps rising wherever he touched. Her breathing audibly changed, her mind waking to greet the new day. A new day where they once more woke in each other's arms. Bash had never realized life could be filled with such happiness. It was foreign to him, an elusive emotion he believed he'd experienced before, not realizing just how empty his soul had been. "You kept me up all night," Margaret groused, her voice thick with exhaustion. "Can we sleep in a little while longer?" Bash smiled, wanting nothing more than to give in to her wishes. But there was work to be done on the island. A storm having demolished a few of the northern farms, Adrian and his men expected him in the main hall in an hour, and he had to prepare. Besides, they were still tracking the sea's beasts, their trail having gone cold weeks ago.
"Please," she said in a whisper, sensing his hesitation. She flipped onto her side beneath the covers and gazed up at him, her eyes bright despite the early hour, mischievous.
Running a hand down the side of her cheek, he breathed in her scent and relished the simple moment. He'd faced victory and received praise, felt his people's love and their frustrations, and he'd gone his entire life being lifted on the shoulders of others. But this, such a mundane thing, lying in bed with Margaret, was a moment that would become a precious memory. He suspected he'd return to such a time in the years to come, a time when he'd look back and imagine the peace that embraced him now. After a lifetime of never knowing it, Margaret's affection was a gift. He still couldn't believe that she was his, and he was hers. And he'd spend every damn day letting her know just how lucky he felt.
"What are you thinking about in that head of yours?"
she mused, leaning forward to kiss his nose.
"You've never been one for deep reflection. Does it hurt?"
Her brow furrowed in mock concern, and she placed the back of her hand on his temple as if he had a fever. So cruel. He tapped her nose, and she wrinkled it, grinning wide.
"You're exceptionally easy to rile, and it's so much fun for me. I must find my entertainment somewhere. This beautiful island can be rather dull."
Bash tugged her flush against him, pressing her head against his madly beating heart. It belonged to her, after all.
"What will I do with you, princess?"
He wove his fingers through her hair, gently massaging her scalp. She melted against him.
"I suppose you can keep me," she said dramatically.
He could practically see her impish grin. His joy swelled.
"Oh, you'll never be rid of me," he promised.
"How many times must I convince you? You're stuck with me now." Because he loved her. It had been a few weeks since the captain's attack, and neither of them had spoken the words. But with each passing day, Bash's love flourished. His heart was light and warm, and there was no denying what he felt. He thought she mumbled something that sounded like "good," but he couldn't be sure. Her breathing had evened out. She'd fallen back asleep. Bash brushed a kiss to the top of her head. Dawn beckoned, as did his work, but he allowed himself to stay in bed.
indulging in the woman who'd saved his island and stolen not only his respect, but his heart. Perhaps the day's work could wait a little longer. A flash of silver light flickered across his vision. He blinked, frowning. What the hell? Bash turned to where the light had been the brightest, the sea glass walls beside the door. Another bolt flickered and he jerked back. The walls, they appeared as if they were vibrating. He rubbed at his eyes, trying to clear his sight, but the glass continued to quiver. Shadows curled about the sides of their suite, flowing through the open windows and the balcony doors. He shot up in bed.
Margaret, do you see?
No one rested beside him. The sheets empty, her warm presence gone.
Panic rushed through his veins, his blood turning to ice.
Those peculiar shadows swarmed around him now, seeming to grow stronger, more determined. His alarm rendered him frozen, and he was helpless but to watch as they surged forward. Bash opened his mouth to scream, but no sound came out. Dense, black wisps churned and spun around his body, devouring their chambers and robbing him entirely of his sight. And just when he believed the shadows would choke the life from him, Bash blinked again. He stood in the war room with Adrian, his friend's welcoming face cocked in question as if he awaited a response. Like grains of sand slipping through his fingertips, Bash lost all memory of his morning with Margaret. Instead, he focused on Adrian and fell into their conversation with ease, speaking about the southern end of the island and the beasts they'd soon hunt. Deep down, he knew something was off, but it was as if his mouth and limbs moved without his consent. The passage of time didn't matter, and Bash suddenly felt too weary to make sense of it. There was only what lay before him, and it was pleasant and familiar. Yet somewhere far away, a voice murmured across his thoughts, eager and persistent. It reminded him of Margaret's voice, but that couldn't be right, as this new voice was brimming with anguish. Bash ignored the screams and honed in on Adrian's laughter, on his friend's thorough explanation for why they needed to construct another grand vessel. Yet when the walls of the war room shook, minutes later, Bash was deposited in yet another random moment of time. He didn't even struggle to decipher the change anymore. He simply fell into the bliss of routine until the world around him trembled and he'd once again find himself back in Margaret's company, his worries melting away until he lost all sense of himself. Whatever enchantment afflicted him, he didn't care. He was happy and loved and safe. After some time, Bash paid no heed to the shadows that stole him. In fact, he welcomed their embrace and whatever magic they commanded. Bash gave in.
Chapter 1. Margaret. Margaret was fire and light and malice, and nothing and no one would stop her from turning the world of the gods on its head. Drenched in the cooling blood of her beloved king, she blasted open the portal to the underworld, shattering the ground of Darius's wretched island, and storming through a tunnel belonging to the divine. Each wrathful step jolted her bones, a harsh stinging radiating down her spine. She inhaled the copper in the air, Bash's life essence clinging to her stiffened shirt, the potent scent fanning the flames of her rage, turning her into a living, breathing storm of heartbreak. Margaret barely sensed the humanity within, as if it shrank in on itself once Bash's soul departed her world. Though she supposed she couldn't even call herself human anymore. After completing the final trial on Surya's cursed island, a great shift had occurred. And now, nothing felt right. She didn't feel right. As if to confirm, her newly branded arm prickled. The gray swirls whirled across her forearm, the single black teardrop pulsating. After she'd battled her father, Her wave had appeared on her collarbone. Now it seemed as if this new tattoo materialized after her fight for the immortality she didn't want. Or maybe it was born from something else entirely. She didn't ruminate upon the thought for long. "I'm going to kill them all," she thought as a silver door loomed ahead, intricate depictions of human life and other absurdities etched into its thick metal. Light glimmered around its edges, luminescent in the dusky corridor. It had to be the door to the underworld. She shoved it open and barreled through. Nothing mattered. Bash was dead. Darius had won. She was now a goddess. Margaret repeated this about 1,000 times to herself as she marched through a narrow passageway lined with opaque ivory sconces, blue flames seeming to reach out and lick at her skin. She'd fought against evil and lost, but the war was nowhere near over. The thing about loss was that sometimes it didn't hit you right away, not in its true form at least. Anger was a much easier ally, and it currently beat inside her head like a drum, drowning out her inner cries, her unseen agony. She could accept rage with open arms, because the alternative? Stopping her advance for just one moment would allow the burning tears to fall. The sheer weight of her loss would force her to her knees, where she'd curl into a tight ball and wish the world away. She'd be useless, and while giving in was tempting, oh, so fucking tempting, she feared she wouldn't have the strength to rise again. So she didn't give in, and she didn't allow her tears to fall, and Margaret stormed ahead as if an army was hot on her trail. The damp walkway went on forever, and with every thud of her boots upon the stones, her resolve strengthened, despair driving her. "Margaret, wait!" The voice at her back reminded her of an annoying bell. As long as it didn't belong to Bay, she didn't much care who its owner was. Margaret didn't trust herself not to kill him for his part in Bash's death. He was the one who'd delivered the blade into her hands. And even if he'd ultimately saved her, she still felt anger, however unwarranted. With the entrance to the realm of the dead growing closer, Margaret's magic opened its maw and exhaled, shuddering with anticipation. She relished how it whispered in her ears, a low melody that harmonized with her own breathing. It was almost like sharing a body with two souls, her power its own being, trapped in warm flesh. Her name sounded again, and a hand fell on her shoulder. Such a frail, weak, mortal hand. Margaret never realized how breakable bones could be, but she knew without a doubt she could shatter the fingers on her shoulder without so much as a thought. She spun around, annoyed by the interruption. "Mila." She reared back, her bright green eyes wide with uncharacteristic fear. She held up two placating hands. "What?" Margaret snapped. She'd just lost the love of her life to some twisted game orchestrated by Darius, and dealing with Mila wasn't a priority. "Calm down, Margaret," Mila begged, her lower lip trembling. Margaret cocked her head at that. Mila rarely showed any ounce of emotion at all. The Azantian rubbed at her stained shirt, which was ripped across the midsection, her right sleeve nearly shredded entirely. She'd put up a decent fight against Shade and her nymphs. Not that Margaret doubted Mila's capability once her temper was incited. But she was hesitant now, terrified. "We shouldn't just rush into this," Mila gestured to the long, empty corridor of flickering blue light, gnawing at the inside of her cheek. "Rush into it?" Margaret repeated, stepping closer. Heat danced in her belly, and her breath grew hot. "Bash was just killed. I'm getting him back. The gods and their games can go screw themselves." She made to turn around when the young woman brazenly grabbed her arm. Slowly, Margaret studied the dirtied fingers around her biceps before bringing her attention to Mila. Bold. Very bold of the sailor. First of all, we don't know where this tunnel leads, and second of all, your eyes are fucking glowing. Not to mention the air around you feels charged with magic. Mila took a wise step back, allowing Margaret room to breathe, to seethe. You're not thinking clearly, and when you're not thinking clearly, you're dangerous. More so now. After she'd been given a gift she'd never wanted. No, it was a curse. As if you ever cared about me before, Margaret said, frost coating every word. Mila never liked her. She made that perfectly clear the day Margaret couldn't save Jace on the island. From what I remember, you were begging me to command these powers before, and when I failed, you shunned me as if I'd allowed your friend to die on purpose. Mila clenched her jaw, the freckles on her nose wrinkling as her nostrils flared. I may not have liked you at first, Margaret, but that's only because... Her focus shifted. Well, to be quite honest, seeing you lose your shit was rather refreshing. It makes you seem like an actual person. Instead of some gratingly perfect specimen everyone loves and obsesses over all the damn time. I've heard your name spoken more times than I want to remember since you landed on Azantian. You may think me cynical for it, but I've found that when something looks too good to be true, it's because it usually is. Mila didn't like her because she seemed too perfect? That was laughable. Before Margaret could reply, more footsteps pounded, and Danny and Atlas sprinted into the light of the nearest sconce. The former's head remained lowered, heavy with grief, as tears streaked Danny's face. Shit. Now Margaret felt like an ass on top of it all. The churning fire that had fueled her moments before began to simmer. Danny had lost her brother, Jax. She let that thought sink in, grimacing when an image of Jonah washed across her mind. The young sailor had been so eager to join them, and he'd perished at Darius's hand in the most gruesome of ways. She sucked in a deep breath, trying to clear the haze that worked to steal her empathy, her humanity. It would have been so much easier to allow it control. At least then she wouldn't feel as though she were teetering on the edge of a cliff. Why did you follow me? Margaret asked cautiously, addressing Atlas. She shoved Jonah and Jax from her thoughts. While a dull and profound ache throbbed in her chest, they were wasting precious time. The warrior lifted her chin. On a bad day, she was obnoxiously proud. But now, a cloud seemed to hover over her head, weighing down her shoulders and turning her eyes a dull shade of blue. I followed you because that's what my king would have wanted. Atlas's right eye twitched, showing her nerves, but she quickly regained control of her emotions and lifted to her full, towering height. And when we get him back, he'll probably owe me more than a promotion. Mila shook her head, her red hair grazing her cheeks. Now's not the time for jokes, Atlas, which is surprising coming from you. She observed the blonde with both disdain and awe. Mila had a gift of expressing scorching emotions on a delicate face. Atlas didn't drop Danny's hand, but she stepped closer to Mila, her hackles rising. I'm doing my damn best, Mila. Am I supposed to pretend to be some hardened piece of stone that doesn't break or feel anything other than contempt? How dare you! Enough! Margaret roared, her voice shaking the walls. The blue flames captured in the sconces wavered erratically. Danny inched forward, eyes locked on Margaret. Dark curls tumbled into her face, her golden brown skin smudged with grime from their fight in the arena. But even covered in dirt, there was something different about the woman, and not merely because of what she'd lost. Her blue eyes appeared to glimmer with purpose, and Margaret had to force herself to turn away from their intensity. I'm not wasting another moment, Margaret said. But if you desire to do so, please stay behind and don't get in my way. She continued deeper into the underworld, knowing this passage had to end at some point. She'd walk forever if that's what it took. A few seconds later, heavy footsteps pummeled the rocky earth, her reluctant companions trailing behind. The part of her that still felt mortal, that still felt like her, questioned why she wasn't demanding they turn around and head back to the human realm. They might not last long down here, if they ever made it to the underworld, and they certainly weren't composed of the divinity Margaret now embraced. She didn't question her role among the immortals anymore. All of it overwhelmed her, yes, but instead of fighting it and telling herself she wasn't a goddess, Margaret welcomed the change with open arms. If it helped her find love, then she'd embrace it. She'd become a living nightmare if she had to. Silence ensued as they walked into the unknown, and after many long minutes, the tunnel widened. Another door stood erected in the center of a rounded stone antechamber, though this time, it had been fashioned of an opulent gold that shone with thousands of glimmering gems. Margaret considered its odd position in the middle of the room with skepticism. She came to a sudden halt, and Atlas gently bumped into her shoulder. Margaret flinched at the contact, and the sailor wisely put distance between them. It appeared that everyone was frightened of her. For a good reason. She frightened herself. "We're getting him back, together," Atlas said at her side. Her eyes were trained straight ahead at the brilliant gold door. "Bash is my king, but more than that, I know he'd fight for me too. For us all if he could. But," she added, her voice stern, "I wouldn't just follow anyone into the depths of the underworld." They locked eyes. Atlas gleamed with sincerity, not an ounce of doubt marring her face. For a fraction of a heartbeat, Margaret didn't feel as if she were adrift, floating between realms. She gave the warrior a curt nod, her throat suddenly constricting. "Once we go through that portal, there may be no turning back," Margaret warned, raising her voice and turning to address the other two women. "Now's your chance to turn back. Your last chance." Silence ensued, but no protests sounded. Surprisingly, Danny was the first to break the weighty quiet. She dropped Atlas's hand and squared her slight shoulders. Her damp cheeks had long ago dried, but the tear tracks still gleamed in the meager light of the enclosure.
"I fear nothing anymore," she murmured, her voice cracking. "I lost my twin, the other half of my soul, and if there's a chance to get him back, or even to say goodbye, I'll not waste it. I'm coming for Jax, for my friend Jonah, and for the island I love.
And I want to shed the blood of the god responsible for the death of my father," Mila added. "The same one who orchestrated a twisted game that killed the man I might have found a partner in." Grant and Jace, two men whom the hardened sailor had given her heart to. "I won't rest until my father's blade is slick with Darius's divine blood." Mila's lips curled up, baring her teeth. Margaret noted her hand rested on the blade in question, the one Grant must have given her. Too bad the honor of killing Darius would be hers. Margaret wanted to be the one to watch as the light died from his seafoam eyes. "It's settled," Atlas said. She motioned to the door. "We're all doing this, Margaret, and we'll follow you into the dark. Now it's up to you to lead us there." Margaret whirled away from her companions, three people who couldn't be any more unalike. And yet, she couldn't deny that having them in her arsenal would be an advantage. She thought of Bay for a pained moment, realizing he'd stayed behind. His hesitance after such betrayal hurt more than she expected. The warriors before her would suffice. Atlas with strength and grit and fortitude, Danny's presence reminded Margaret of the humanity she felt drifting further and further away. And Mila, she was that voice. That loud voice in her ear, calling her out on her bullshit. As much as she wanted to storm into the underworld alone with her magic blazing, Margaret wasn't sure what she'd be up against. She scrutinized the trio, taking her time to drink in their determined features, to make sure their convictions held true. Not one of them showed a hint of uncertainty, and Margaret knew they meant every word. "Fine, but stay close to me and keep quiet," Margaret said, shifting once more for the door. She ambled closer until 3 feet separated her from the golden slab and the gilded handle in the shape of a liander bloom. The knob opening the portal to the underworld resembled a sedative disguised by petals, the same flower she'd once used on Bash the night they shared their first kiss. Her heart clenched at the memory, but she swallowed it down with a grimace. Her emotions would get the best of her if she didn't control them. Lifting her hand, she brought it to the cool metal handle. It was ice beneath her skin, and the contact sent a charged current dancing up and down her arm. Her fingers tightened on the knob, and her breath wavered as a crushing weight settled onto her shoulders. This was the moment of no return. A moment she'd either celebrate or curse. Margaret pulled on the handle and opened the door that led to nowhere and possibly everywhere. This time, her ensuing curse was echoed by the others. Chapter 2. Margaret. She hadn't expected the underworld to be so bright. Not that she'd known what to expect. Margaret pushed beyond the portal's threshold, looking up, up, up. They had been delivered to a cliff overlooking a rocky valley, the pale stones sharp and unforgiving, all jutting out as if pointing at them with accusatory fingers, warning them. Uneven stairs crept downward, the steep path cutting through the center of the rocky landscape. Far away, she heard dripping water, the steadying noise matching her heart rate. She followed the sound, spotting a slim waterfall in the far distance, its pure blue flowing down a crag and disappearing into a gorge. It was infinite, an entire world imprisoned by towering rocks that rose on forever to kiss a cloudless sky, which shined with 3 suns. All differing colors, all intense, and equally breathtaking. One shone a pale buttery yellow, the second a robin's egg blue, and the third a brilliant red. The last sun cast the realm in an eerie crimson glow, causing goosebumps to form up and down her arms. Amber leaves sprouted haphazardly from the rugged terrain, the flora a warm shade of autumn. No fanciful flowers bloomed, but spindly sea-green reeds flourished around the pathway before them, leading them to a castle far grander than any built with mortal hands. Gasps sounded from behind her, and Margaret realized she'd forgotten her companions entirely as she took everything in. The palace, if the word did it justice, rested in the heart of the valley, with no end to its size. Brilliant lights poured from its core, the structure glimmering with hints of every color imaginable. It reminded her of a rainbow trapped inside a glass jar. The neighboring stones of the ravine were dull in comparison to the lustrous palace, and if she squinted, she could make out what appeared to be crushed gems embedded in the rock, the facets sending blazes of light radiating across the underworld. From the rough landscape, the fortress rose high into the air, giving way to 7 spires soaring higher than the eye could see. 7 spires, and what appeared to be 7 levels, dense walls encircling each landing. Only when she lowered her head did she see the stream of vivid red surrounding the otherworldly palace, hugging its rugged shores. Margaret peered over the side of the cliff and at the narrow stairs leading down. They were treacherous and steep, and just as dangerous as their destination. Her eyes glided across the precarious path, the stairs leading to the palace, and to a bridge of enchanting blue and silver glass that ran across the red stream. Instantly, her mind went to Azantian and its glass bridges. there could be no denying that the underworld held similarities to the island. How it shone with
Sample complete. Ready to continue?